Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we get together as brothers and sisters in your name. Lord, help us to not take it for granted, but Lord, to treasure our time together and to value your word and to value you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that was great, Whitney. Thank you. It kind of ties into what I was going to share. So maybe you can turn to Galatians 6. And in Galatians 6, it kind of uses the same idea of a farmer, because farmers are patient, and talks about sowing, so planting seeds. And farmers have patience because they have hope that that seed's going to produce something, but it takes time. And that nature of patience is what God is seeking for. He wants us to have patience, knowing and believing that he wants to do something good, but it takes time. Galatians 6, verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you sow potatoes, you're going to get potatoes. If you sow corn, you're going to get corn." Right? What are you sowing? It says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And so I was really looking at these two things, and I was thinking about our lives. Our lives are often a collection of choices, and each of those choices are like sowing something. Those choices, are they according to the Spirit or are they according to the flesh? And I think it might be where, but we could just word it this way. The flesh is like self. The Spirit is like God. Is it our own will or is it God's will? Is it what we want or is it what God wants? If we make choices day by day, and if those choices are according to what we want, it's going to ultimately bring destruction. But if those collection of choices day by day, we're faithfully seeking God and say, "God, I want to make decisions according to your will, not my own," it's going to reap everlasting life. And that's a daily thing. So I guess it really comes down to today. We may not have tomorrow, but today, what kind of choices are we making? Are we making choices to please ourselves or to please God? It says we ought to be seeking to please God. If we're seeking to please ourselves, we're often going to go according to our own intellect, to our own reasoning. If we're seeking to please God, we're going to acknowledge that, you know what, my intellect is flawed. I'm going to go according to your word. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask him to lead and direct. And we know he's going to always lead us according to his word. It will never contradict God's word. Take a look here in James chapter 3. Because if we're going according to our own reasoning, in our own intellect, and we're putting confidence into how we understand or see things, that wisdom is really earthly. It says here in James 3, verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic." So what kind of wisdom do you have? Do we have wisdom that is demonic? Because contrary to that is the wisdom of God. We're going to get to that. Wisdom that is demonic is when we're putting confidence in ourself to make decisions for what is best, rather than putting confidence in God, leaning up on him. What is that going to look like? Praying and seeking him by going to his word. Sometimes it's clearly said. Sometimes we're praying for God's will, and he's already told us. It's already written right in his word what his will is. Are we willing to do it? A wise person would. It says, verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. For the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So I really just think when we come to decisions, each day, sometimes there's little decisions, sometimes there's big decisions, but what are we going by? What kind of wisdom is directing our lives? Is it our own understanding, our own wisdom, which is earthly, or are we seeking the wisdom that's from above? Are we saying, God, I lack understanding? Humbly coming to him saying, Lord, I don't understand or see all things. My view is limited. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need you to lead and guide me. And are we also going according to his word? Because we know his guidance will never contradict his word. Look in Jeremiah 17. Kind of describes these two types of people. 17:5, it says, cursed is the man who trusts in men. So that can be trusting in others, but it can also be trusting in self, because we are flesh, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man, verse 7, who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious when the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9, for the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Every man, not just some. So what's he doing? He's giving us the consequences of our own decisions, whether good or bad. You're going to reap what you sow. Are we sowing to the Spirit? Are we sowing in seeking to do God's will? Or are we sowing according to the flesh, seeking to do our own will? When self is involved, when self is on the throne, when self is the motive for why we're making the decisions, well, according to my own mindset, my own view, I think this is the best decision. It's just like Lot. Abraham and Lot, they had to separate their herdsmen and their flocks and all the rest. And Abraham said, in his heart, first said, you know, God, I think you're sovereign. God, I trust you. I'll let my nephew, Lot, choose. But in his heart, it was from faith. Lot, you can choose. And Lot went according to what he could see. And he chose what was the best option of the two. And he took the green land, where it was like a really lush area for his flocks and his herdsmen. He ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that right? Did I say that right? Yes? Yeah, okay, I'm just thinking there. And he ended up there, and it says his soul was tormented day by day. He got what he chose. He didn't see what it was going to bring. He went according to his natural view, to his limited intellect, and that's what he went by. And he got what he chose. We reap what we sow. He was tormented day by day. There is many people that are older, 40, 50, 60, 70, looking back would say, you know, I made some wrong decisions, and now I have to reap the consequences. At any time, whether we're 50 or whether we're way younger, we can choose to start to seek God and start to make decisions by the Spirit, saying, Lord, I want to please you. What is your will in this decision? Number one, it will never contradict his word. Go there first. Why would he choose to show us some other way if it's right in his word and we don't want to believe it? There was a man who once said, and there was a parable where this poor man was always by the king's table and ended up in heaven. And then there was the rich man who ended up in torment. And he said, you know, go tell my brothers. Like, and what do they say? Even if someone raises from the dead, they're not going to believe them. They have the law and the prophets. In other words, we have the word of God. If we're not going to believe God's word, there's a problem. This is sufficient. That's what he's trying to get us to do, is go here. Believe God's word. When you read it, do it. That's wisdom, is to believe God's word. I'm going to finish off in Matthew 7. I'm going to go right to a very common passage. This is right near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 24, it says, 7:24, it says, Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came and blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished. What is the difference between the two men? They're both building houses. We can relate that to our lives. We both are building our lives. What are we building our lives upon? Is our life going to be upon a firm foundation? Jesus, the rock. Or are we going to not really have a foundation? Both lives will look very good for a while. Both of them will experience testing, guaranteed. If you choose to follow God, you're going to have tests. The difference is that when the tests come, one house is going to collapse. One life is going to collapse. It's going to become in disarray. And yet the other life, it does not have to collapse. You might get a little creaking as the wind is blowing on that house, but it's not going to collapse because it's on a good foundation. The difference is, one of them actually, when they heard God's word, the only difference was they did it. That was the only difference. They both heard it, but one did. And so I would encourage us, as we're making decisions today and each day ahead of us, do we seek to say, God, what is your will? Not what is my own will, but Lord, what is your will? What does that mean? It means we're not going to go according to what we see our own intellect. We're going to say, God, I'm going to acknowledge that I don't see everything fully the way you do. Lord, I need you to lead and guide me. Lord, bring back to mind scriptures. Even scriptures that you're like, man, I don't really have that conviction. But what is it saying, God's word? You will never go wrong by building your life upon his word. Sometimes we don't understand why God says certain things the way he does. But we need to be like a hardworking farmer who has hope that if he sows seed, that it will come out of the ground. That one day it's going to produce good things in my life, even though it's a long ways off. Sometimes we don't see the benefit of making sound decisions according to his word until one day. Sometimes it takes a while. And sometimes we don't see the problems of making decisions according to our own intellect and our own fleshly reasoning, our own self, until down the road. Then it gets exposed. That man spent all that time building that house, and it was not on a good foundation. And it looked great. It can look just as fancy and just as nice on the outside. Until what? The storm came. Then it fell apart. And so that whole process went on, but sometimes it takes a while to see the result. And I say this not so that it's like about others seeing the result in our lives, but about for our own good, right? We want to be those that hear the word of God and do it. It's like building our house upon the rock. The difference is that one of them is much more costly because all the time and money it takes to dig, to put in proper structural fill, to put in a good footing, a good foundation, no one appreciates it. No one else sees. It's all hidden to men. But God sees. God knows. It's a lot of work to do all that, and it costs a lot of money. That's where builders will take shortcuts because no one sees. It shows up years later as things start to settle. And cracks start to show up all of a sudden in the living room. Oh, there's a crack in the door. Well, what's going on here? It's because there was shortcuts taken. The cost wasn't counted early on in the building process. You won't notice it for years. In the same way, it is like that now. Sometimes you won't see what you're going to reap right away, often. And so I want to encourage us to always seek God's will in every decision. I'm not talking about what type of chocolate bar to buy. I'm talking about bigger decisions. Lord, where do you want me to work? That's not even a big decision. That's a small one. Who do you want me to marry? Lord, who do you want me to hang around with? Who do you want me to be, have as close as friends? These are the ones that are going to shape our character, shape the decisions we make. Those are the kind of things we want to be careful, right? What kind of fellowship am I getting? What kind of word am I hearing? That's important when I say that. Am I hearing something that just tickles my ears, or am I hearing something that's going to actually like help me to build my life upon Jesus Christ? Anyways, that was kind of what I wanted to share this morning. Jason's going to come up.